Ladies and gentlemen, Lagon Duncan said, family worship is led by fathers or other heads of families with a view to establishing God-centered homes, promoting worship in all of life and all the members of the household, and in preparation for public worship. The Bible makes clear the importance of family worship. May we encourage you, if necessary, to peel off from us and have family devotions. If you are head of household, father and mother, husband and wife and children, feel free to peel off from us, follow the model that we have, or follow some other model, or however the Lord leads you, and make sure you have family devotions. The purpose of this White House family devotions is to inspire and to encourage others to get back to the old-fashioned, ancient principle of family worship, family devotions, family altar. It is something that the Lord is in for you and your family. If you are a single mother, you're welcome to continue with us. Just get the children up and gather around and just join in with us if that's what you want to do, because it is hard to pray with a husband and wife in the home. It is, I know some of my feminist friends will think it's not hard, but it is hard to pray being single, being a mother particularly, with little children. And it's just, if you want to do it right, it's going to be difficult. And so if you want to join us and participate, as so many have, we thank God for you, and we are here for you. Sometimes, every now and then, we just need a little motivation, a little encouragement in the area of prayer. It is one of the most difficult things that you will ever do in your life. It shouldn't be. It doesn't seem like it would be. But that's the reason why many people don't pray, because it is difficult. It's hard. And one of the reasons why it is hard is because you have to deal with your own sin. When you start praying, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with you, and all kinds of thoughts begin to happen when you start praying to God. God starts talking to you. He starts speaking to you, and you got to deal with those issues and confess those sins. Prayer can be painful, because every time you go before God, he's going to bring stuff before you that you need to deal with. If you're at odds with your wife or husband or children or parents, and you got some issues, and you have offended somebody and you have not gotten it right, he's going to bring that up. Now, I mean, you can rest assured, because you're not, in the words of a dear brother so many years ago, you're not on praying ground. And so he's going to bring down conviction. And if you don't have a prayer partner, oftentimes people quit because of the pain of prayer. So, my beloved, join me now in reciting or reading the Apostles' Creed, where I have added, I believe, pertinent information that should have been in it since the beginning, so many thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. The Apostles' Creed. And if you recite it and read it while focusing on it, you'll get something out of it. And it is good for your the strengthening of your faith. It's based upon the Word of God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene, this is the part that I added, and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Join me in reading the family verses. We're reading them verse by verse. A passage of scripture that we have read every day in our family. We read the whole thing every day, but for the sake of time in this devotional, we're breaking it down with explanation, reminding us and our family, and reminding you and your family how the family ought to be according to the Word of God, not according to my interpretation. We are using Bible-based commentaries from a third party so that you won't think this is my slant. The Bible is very clear. If you want peace and love and joy and happiness in your family, you must do it God's way. And coming out of a dysfunctional family, and my wife coming out of a dysfunctional family as well, probably more dysfunctional than mine, I made it clear before we got married, either we're going to do it this way, the Bible way, or no way. And I meant that. I was not kidding. I was not playing. And I told her that if you don't want to do it God's way, then according to the scriptures, this passage right here, then there's no need for us to get married because it is not going to work. I knew that before I got married because I had been saved and preaching the Word of God for almost 10 years before I met my wife. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. David Guzik continues in his Enduring Word commentary on the Bible. He says, submission does not mean inferiority. As well, submission does not mean silence. Submission means submission. There is a mission for the Christian marriage. This is very insightful. Pay attention. there is a mission for the Christian marriage. Did you know that? And that mission is obeying and glorifying God. The wife says, I'm going to put myself under that mission. That mission is more important than my individual desires and wants. I'm not putting myself below my husband. I'm putting myself below the mission God has for our marriage and for my life, according to the Word of God. Amen, somebody. What I've always told my wife, and I'm getting off of the commentary text, what I've always told my wife down through the years, that this is all about, and I've told my children this, if you obey God, you will obey me and everything will be fine. We'll have a wonderful relationship and a grand old time if you obey God. It's not about you obeying me. It's about you obeying God. If you obey God, then you will obey me. And I meant that. And I had to tell my wife, and even my older children, don't take it personally. It's not a flesh and blood situation. It's about all of us being on mission and submitting to the mission that God has not only for our family, but for all Christian families. Now back to the text. To your own husbands defines the sphere of a wife's submission. The Bible never commands a general submission of women unto men in society. This order is commanded only in the spheres of the home and in the church. So you don't have to be as a wife in submission to all men, unless you are of course under leadership of a church, and where the pastor is in charge. But that is not the same as being submitted to your husband. There is a difference. And so, ladies, if you want to truly be happy, if you get married, submit to your husband. Stop talking back. Stop running off at the mouth. Stop blowing like you're so frustrated. Stop getting angry. Stop rolling your eyes. Stop trying to out-talk your husband, over-talk your husband while he's talking to you. That's disrespectful. Everybody knows a woman can say a million words before a man can say one. We all know that. We all know that a woman can talk rings around her husband while she is changing the baby, cooking the food, and washing the dishes, we all at the same time, while most men are trying to get their bearing before they respond. And most men just get frustrated and walk out the door, some never to return. Some women have talked their husbands right out the door, running off at the mouth, and then complaining when he does not come back. He does not come home. I'm reminded of one wife. They had seemingly a good relationship, but one day it just set her off. She was waiting all day for him to come home. He said he was going to come home, and there was some time elapsed there where he did not get in touch with her, about 3 or 4 hours. And when he came home, like a snake in waiting, she was sitting at the table, mad as she could be. He came in with his normal sweet little words, "Hello, how are you?" She stood up and threw her plate of food against the wall and said, "Where have you been? Where have you been? Where have you been? Tell me now. You told me you were supposed to be at work. Where have you been?" And she stood up, not really in a submissive posture, and said, "Sit down. You're going to sit at this table and you're going to eat dinner with me." And he looked at her like she was crazy. She went in the kitchen, got his spaghetti, no sauce, threw it in front of him, and said, "Eat. Sit down, eat, and talk to me. I'm your wife." And he pointed to the wall where she threw her spaghetti, and was trying to say, you know, "What about, what?" She said, "Don't worry about it. I'll clean it up later." And so, as you know, that didn't turn out well that night. You have to tone it down. Be loving, be kind, be calm, and do it God's way, and things will turn out better for you. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And we pray that you would help every Christian family to do it according to your rule book, to do it your way. And so that they can have peace in their home. We thank you, Lord, for Dave Ramsey, who focuses on financial peace with his Peace University, Financial Peace University. And we need that. But before that, we need marital and family peace in the home, derived from your holy word, in obedience to it. We need a not only a financial peace university, but a family peace university. For we can get our finances in order and not have our family in order, and we're still in a very serious mess, big time. And just we'll end up having more money to split between the husband and the wife as they go their separate ways. And we don't want that. And we pray that you'll heal Christian marriages and Christian families. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join us in reading Psalm 106. Verses 6 through 12. We have sinned with our fathers, We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his namesake. Notice that word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, in spite of the forefathers, the fathers, and the people disobeying God, nevertheless. We can use that word, nevertheless, also as it pertains to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nevertheless, in spite of our sins, in spite of our failures, Christ died for us. Nevertheless, in spite of us, God so loved the world. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. Can somebody say amen? That he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Dr. Matthew Henry says, here begins a confession of sin. How about that, dear Christian friend? Have you truly confessed your many sins, your failures, your faults? Have you been honest with God and with yourself? For we must acknowledge that the Lord has done right and we have done wickedly. Isn't that true? How many times you have said, God, you have been good to us, but we have not been good to you. We are encouraged to hope that though justly corrected, yet we shall not be utterly forsaken. God's afflicted people own themselves guilty before him. Allow me to repeat that. God's afflicted people own themselves guilty before him. God is distrusted because his favors are not remembered. If he did not save us for his own namesake and to the praise of his power and grace, we should all perish. Amen. Join me now, beloved, in praying for the estates, and let's get right to it. Holy Father God, we pray for all evangelists and all pastors and all teachers. We pray for all servant church leadership, for all pastors and church servant leaders, denominational servant leaders, Bible teachers and missionaries, and ministry workers, and all of the people in the pews. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, revive us again in the church and help us to get back to you, our first love, and to our first works and repent. And Holy Father God, we pray for all governmental leaders. We pray for the president and other governmental leaders. According to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for President Donald Trump and his administration, his family, Vice President Mike Pence and his family, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence, all White House staff, including the Press Secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, all leaders of federal agencies, including National Labor Relations Board Chairman Philip, Ms. Cimera, all state governors, including Florida Governor Rick Scott, all city mayors, including Mayor Atlanta, Georgia Mayor, Atlanta, Georgia has a new mayor now. We pray for her. We pray for all members of Congress, including Arizona Representative Kristen Sinema, all law enforcement officials, including Kansas City, Missouri Police Chief David Zimmerman, all military leaders, General John Nicholson Jr., Commander of Resolute Support and U.S. Forces in Afghanistan, leaders of nations around the world, Colombia's President Juan Manuel Santos, and we pray for Prime Minister of Israel, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Holy Father God, we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these that I have mentioned. We also pray for the people. We pray these same blessings upon them, and we pray that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, have your Holy Spirit power to fall and to move upon the hearts of people in a powerful way and in a special way, and not give them rest until they come to know your Savior. And Lord, I like the name of this new church that the brother is renaming the church, and relentless, and help us as a church to be relentless in our witness for you. And Holy Father God, we pray for the traditional media as well as the new media, that you will save those who are lost and revive those who are saved, and lead, guide, and direct these people to tell the truth, to report the truth. It is their duty to do that, and not to try to make the news about them, to slant it to their personal bias, or to create news out of nowhere. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ also for current events. And we pray for these things that are happening around the world. You are well aware of them. We are not informing you. We're just being obedient to you and praying to you about these things as you have commanded us to do. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 11 people and 16 people wounded in an ISIS attack on a military academy in Afghanistan. We pray for the comfort of the families and community of Millcroft, Pennsylvania, where 5 people were killed in a shooting at a car wash. We pray for the comfort and healing of the families of the nearly 100 people killed by an ambulance bomb attack in Kabul. Comfort these people as only you can. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. We also pray for all of the people in the hundreds who have sent in prayer requests to us. Hear and answer their prayers for themselves, and hear and answer our prayers for them. And we pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, and provision blessings upon all of these people. And we pray particularly for these by name off of that list of hundreds. And we pray that you would please bless Colin with good communication and help her and her friend to trust each other. Please save her friend's soul. Laura, we pray for Laura. Please bless her as a single mother. Provide her with a nice apartment, enough money for her family and school supplies, clothes and shoes for her children. We pray for Patricia. Please have Jorel, Gabriel, and Joy to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What a prayer request. Fill them with your Holy Spirit's power. And Holy Father God, we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry. We pray for Bobby. We pray for Damien. We pray for Subda. And Holy Father God, we commit these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. And we pray for those who have recommitted themselves to you recently through the preaching of this ministry. We pray for William. We pray for Samuel. And we pray for Nina. We commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in their lives. Help them to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith for your glory, praise, and honor. And we commit our souls into your hands as well. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved, our devotional reading for today is titled Live by the Spirit by A.W. Tozer. The purest saint at the moment of his greatest strength is as weak as he was before his conversion. What has happened is that he has switched from his little human battery to the infinite power of God. He has quite literally, now I told you these fellas are deep. Now, so you have to pay attention to get what these folks are saying. Now, he's gone deep already in just a few words. Allow me, because I know you missed it, so allow me to repeat what he has already said. This is deep already. This will help you if you get it. A.W. Tozer said, the purest saint at the moment of his greatest strength is as weak as he was before his conversion. Now, he went deep in his first sentence. What has happened, watch this, is that he has switched from his little human battery to the infinite power of God. That'll help you if you can get it. He has quite literally exchanged weakness for strength. My God, that's good. But the strength is not his. Amen, somebody. It flows into him from God as long as he abides in Christ. one of the heaviest problems in the Christian life is that of sanctification. How to become as pure as we know we ought to be and must be if we are to enjoy intimate communion with a holy God. The classic expression of this problem and its solution is found in Paul's epistle to the Romans. The cry, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Receives the triumphant answer, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. No one who has given attention to the facts will deny that it is altogether possible for a man to attain to a high degree of eternal morality if he sets his heart to it. That is external morality. Allow me to repeat that statement. No one who has given attention to the facts will deny that it is altogether possible for a man to attain to a high degree of external morality if he sets his heart to it. Marcus Aurelius, Daniel, the pagan emperor, for instance, lived a life of such exalted morality as to make most of us Christians ashamed, as did also the lowly slave Epictetus. But holiness was something of which they were totally ignorant. And it is holiness that the Christian heart yearns for above all else. And holiness, the human heart, can never capture by itself. We need God. We need Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Holy Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your servants who take us deep in a hurry. And we thank you for this devotional this morning, and this devotional reading in particular. And we thank you for the entire devotional time together. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us of your Holy Word throughout this day. Help us to meditate on it. Help us to remember it. Help us to think about it. And Lord, help us to not get caught up in loving the world more than loving you and your Holy Word. Help us to pray without ceasing, using this devotional as a foundation for this day and a springboard to the action that you would have us to take. For your glory, your praise, and honor, Lord, as we depart from this place today, help all of us to be the shining lights and the witnesses that you would have us to be everywhere we go. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sin. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to commit another sin to go to hell. You've already sinned enough by nature and by choice. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe in hell. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, but I don't believe there's a hell." Well, Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, more so than anybody else in the Bible, more so than most modern preachers today. And he preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, in the New Testament, chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, hell is bad news, but I do have some good news for you. While the blood is running warm in your veins and air is in your lungs, Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him in heaven and with God and the angels and the other saints, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer, called commonly the sinner's prayer. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13 says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you are willing to believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He washed all of our sins away through his precious blood, his pure and holy blood. Our blood is tainted with sin. His is pure and holy. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul if you believe on him. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner, that I have come short of your holy standard. I've committed many sins, such as lying, stealing, and lusting. Therefore, I have broken your Ten Commandments. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, as I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away all of the sins of the world, including mine. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And to turn from all of my wicked ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, and I feel like saying, and have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning? So if you can get that ready real quick, please do. If not, we'll go with the other song. But if you meant that from your heart, dear friend, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. We all know that you don't deserve it and I don't deserve it. But welcome to the family of God. We thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. That holy blood, that precious blood that has been written about and sung about down through the centuries. It is not about you, it's about Christ and what he did for us. And so I want to congratulate you, my beloved, on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture.